Mass incarceration in the U.S. is an increasingly growing concern among policymakers on both sides of the aisle. The U.S. has 5% of the world's population, but 25% of its prisoners. There are a number of reforms being discussed, some dramatic, others more based on common sense. A recent publication put together by the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University includes a broad swath of possible changes, with ideas from Democratic presidential candidates like Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren to President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. It's titled Ending Mass Incarceration, Ideas from Today's Leaders. One of the publication's editors and contributors is Enamai Chetiyar, director of the Brennan Center's Justice Program, and she is with me. Enamai, even as there is bipartisan support for reforming how the U.S. incarcerates people, what are the major factors that continue to have the nation in this position?
Yeah, so a couple things. So one, I think that it is a misunderstanding that putting more and more people in prison is going to drive down crime. So I think that's a myth that people now understand is actually not true. There's been decades of research showing that that's not the case. Number two, I would say there are some people who are still afraid to be called soft on crime to kind of take the steps forward to be able to do this. What's fortunate, though, is that public polling has actually shown that a lot of people are for alternatives to prison and that this is something that the public broadly agrees on and politicians are also starting to agree on.
So what are some key ways to dramatically reduce the incarcerated population? A lot of people will talk about drug crimes. Other people will talk about people of color getting, frankly, more fair justice.
Yeah. So one of the major factors in the crisis of mass incarceration, as you mentioned, is also the racial justice impact. So that the communities of color bear the brunt of these policies in terms of policing and prosecution and end up disproportionately in prison. So in terms of the solutions, so the Brennan Center has actually put forward a plan to cut the prison population by 40% safely. And in order to do that, one thing would be to outright eliminate the use of prison for lower level crimes. And secondly, to reduce the amount of the length of prison sentences for more serious crimes. So even if you think someone should go to prison because they committed a serious crime, they often don't need to be there for 15, 20 years. They can be there for a lot shorter and it would still be effective. So in terms of other solutions, obviously reforming policing is one big one. And police often tend to over-enforce crimes in communities of color. And so I think rebalancing the system of policing is a second factor, as well as reforming prosecutorial practices that also can be racially disparate. So I'd say number one, the sentencing, and number two, focusing on kind of the influx of people coming into prison.
Departments are so different across the country. Are there certain best practices that could potentially be put into effect?
Yes. So one thing that we have found is that community policing, which is where the police join with communities to solve crime together, as opposed to the traditional model of having it be police against, you know, kind of against citizens, to have the police working with citizens, can actually reduce crime and improve relationships with communities, which will often lead to better outcomes.
What is that momentum for bipartisan reform, and how does one get there? Does that have to start from the U.S. Department of Justice? Can it be done on a state-by-state basis?
Yeah, so there are many ways to attack this problem. So one is state by state. So for the last 10 years, states, interestingly enough, starting with Texas, undertook bipartisan efforts to reduce their prison populations. So there is a tremendous amount of momentum in the states. And actually, as these states, you know, Texas, Georgia, New York, Kentucky, all sorts of different states started undertaking these reforms, that's actually how the bipartisan movement then more recently arrived in Washington. And so one of the things we're hoping is that this federal bill that President Trump just signed into law late last year will actually further increase momentum in the states. So I think it is a combined effort of things happening in Washington as well as things happening at the state level.
And you mentioned before there are still those who want to appear tough on crime, and former Attorney General Jeff Sessions was one of them. Is there that feeling, though, as there is more movement for reform, those who don't want reform sort of dig their heels in deeper, and does that create a harder battle, frankly, and a battle that that indicates that people who are really committed have to really be committed?
You know, it's interesting. I think that there is a very small vocal minority against reform, including people like Jeff Sessions and Tom Cotton, but that the majority of the Republican Party, including the president himself, have come to realize the need for criminal justice reform. So I think that, yes, you will always have extremist people on both sides saying different things, but at this point, it is the bipartisan consensus to reduce mass incarceration.
You know, Maya, this is a really loaded question, but what are the greater benefits to society if we limit this mass incarceration, if we do better as a group in terms of fairness?
A couple of things to start with. So one, it's actually shown that prison can often be counterproductive for bringing down crime. So frequently sending people to prison who don't need to be there or sending them to prison for too long can actually increase the likelihood that they will commit crimes upon release out of prison due to trouble reintegrating into society. So I think one, it actually is going to help with keeping people safe by only keeping the most serious offenders in prison. It is going to also have an increase in the effect on our economy. So there are a lot of people who can't get jobs, who are unemployed, who are underemployed because they have a criminal record. So approximately 70 to 100 million people in the U.S. have some kind of criminal record. That is a lot of people. And those people are often stigmatized out of jobs, out of the ability to care for their families, and then frequently actually get pushed back into crime for that reason. So I actually think not only will it promote more employment, it will also promote more safety as well. And then I would just say the moral and racial justice implications. So at this time, approximately 1 in 3 Black men can expect to spend time behind bars in their lifetime. And that is kind of an outrageous number. And so the idea of actually really bringing racial justice and racial equality to the United States, you can't do that without ending mass incarceration.
That is Enamai Chediar. She is with the Brennan Center for Justice. She is the director of its justice program. We've been talking about the publication Ending Mass Incarceration, Ideas from Today's Leaders. Enamai, thank you for the time today.
Thank you.